We resolve that there will be more episodes in 2012 than there were in 2011.
Yes, we also resolved that we're going to buy actual host space for this so that all of the episodes will be up and
We're making an
findable.
investment in you.
Our five listeners.
We're investing in you for your future.
They're the future of this podcast.
Yes. So in wrapping up 2011, or we're sort of kissing it off. Goodbye. And we the two ways we were going to do this, last year we did a year wrap-up feature where we looked at every song that was number one on the Billboard Top 100 for at least a week. And last year there were 17 such songs. We have 18 this year. And then we were also going to talk about our favorites. Rebecca still submits a Paz and Jop ballot. So.
So mine are readily available. Have you made your ballot, Brian?
No, I haven't made a ballot. Mine's just going to be, I have to confess to not having heard more than maybe 25 or 30 like new albums this year. So I really just have to stick to my five or six favorites. There are lots of subjects I can't really speak to, like how good they were or weren't. But, I heard what I heard. And I also heard a lot of pop radio because of my work with the children. My
Well,
work with the children.
as I already told you, that my Paz and Jop ballot this year, the singles ballot, features more radio hits than ever. I've never had that many radio hits on a ballot before, so it
That
was a
makes me
good year for
think
pop music.
I was a bad influence. Well, unfortunately, the songs that were number one, I think, aren't of particularly good quality this year.
No. I think.
I think it might be a bit of a struggle to pick. I mean, of these number one songs, it would be a struggle to pick out a song of the year.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I guess it would go to, well, we'll talk about that when we get into them. I think there's like a couple of contenders, but then there's a lot of just pretty terrible stuff. Some of which is a repeat from last year.
Yeah.
So we've already signed, sealed, and delivered opinions about the first two songs that were number one in 2011. And those songs were Raise Your Glass by Pink and Firework by Katy Perry.
Recent divorcee.
Yes, recent divorcee. I don't think we need to say much more about those particular songs. We've opined about them on record. My opinion hasn't changed much about either. I maybe like Firework 10% more than I did last
Because of the
year.
weird old man who sings it at karaoke.
No, because it's actually cute to hear my students sing along to it. So that's like made it a little bit fun. So the next that takes us through January. Just same stuff that was on top in 2010. New to 2011, though not that new in the sense that it's just like the next single off of one of 2010's biggest albums, the song Grenade by Bruno Mars.
Yeah, if you were wondering what was playing on the radio in February, pretty much the whole time it
Why
was
would
him.
they open? Gave you all I had and you tossed it in the trash. You tossed it in the trash. You I actually think this is a well-written song. It is actually more of a pop song than much of what else is here, which are characteristically like dance floor songs. They're not written as like verse chorus songs that have chords and melodies. It's just like
Yeah, no, there's something charmingly old school about Bruno Mars. You know, he's a songwriter.
Yes.
He's enamored of sort of doo-wop styles, and there is something very traditional about him. This song is not maybe my favorite of his, and it was especially ruined for me by those totally annoying ladies, Delilah, on the sing-off.
I would catch a grenade.
It was a lot of, and whenever I hear that song, I think of the toothy lead singer and like her big, big voice. So, I'm sorry, Bruno Mars. That's not your fault. I mean, you were responsible for lots of other big songs last year. Like, not to jump ahead too far, but in a couple of weeks after this, CeeLo Green hit the charts with Fuck/Forget You. And Bruno Mars wrote that song, so I'd rather see him than perhaps the next artist on the chart.
Right. So then, the next song that was number one, and this started in March, and it really was the beginning of a string of songs throughout the year that had the similar theme. And Rebecca, you described it succinctly before. There seemed to be a whole lot of songs that all have a common touchstone.
I'm not sure I remember what you were saying that
you can't tell apart, like, David Guetta, Jason Derulo, Pitbull, like, there are all sorts of songs now that are just these, like,
because it's just four the Black on the Eyed Peas.
Yes, that they are all like stemming from that one Black Eyed Peas song.
Yeah. Like, the last Black Eyed Peas album, which granted maybe is an unfair characterization because I loathe that band so much, I have not heard the whole album. But all the singles of that album were really, like, Will.i.am explores Europop with sort of, like, that I Got a Feeling insistent key, like, synth line is on every
just
song
this year.
That quarter
note unsyncopated.
And then it, like, something.
We should make that our new, that's a hit. That's a number one. We just did it. Live. We just invented a number one song.
I think the thing that is most disturbing
to me.
You know that's how they write the words.
We're gonna remix that for the end of this episode.
But just the thing that's so disappointing to me about the Black Eyed Peas is that it's not just that they're bad on their own, it's that they have somehow they've become the musical touchstone. They've spun off everything that has come since. It's like, oh, let's make a Black Eyed Peas song.
Let's make that Black Eyed Peas song again.
And that's how we'll get to the top of the charts. And that's it. I mean, I don't want to jump out of place here, but, I mean, look at the rest of this list. In July, it was the Pitbull song, Give Me Everything, with Ne-Yo and Afrojack. Like, that's that song.
Yep.
The David Guetta featuring Usher, Without You, in December is that song.
And that's just like the tip of the iceberg of pop songs this year that have had that exact format.
Yeah.
About a quarter of the number ones are remakes of that Black Eyed Peas song, including Tonight I'm Loving You by Enrique Iglesias featuring Ludacris and DJ Frank. Here's the situation, been to every nation, nobody's ever made me feel the way that you do. You know my motivation, given my reputation, please excuse me, I don't mean to be rude, but tonight I'm loving you. I'm pretty sure that it's supposed to be Tonight I'm Fucking You.
That is what it sounds like they're leaving space for.
Yeah. I think that's, you know, the top 40 version was I'm Loving You, just like Forget You was the top 40 version of April 16th's number one, CeeLo Green's Forget You, which came out in the summer of 2010. It's kind of weird talking about it as a 2011 song. Why would it have popped up that week?
I don't know. Was that when they...
Were they on SNL that week?
Did it
or
on Glee?
On Glee? That makes more sense. Like, Yeah, SNL is a chart moving phenomenon. Not really. Okay, but yes, Glee would have moved units.
I just, it's, you know me. I feel like at base level, pop music kind of needs to be about sex,
Yes.
right? Like lots of different things around sex, like getting it, not getting it, losing it, being afraid of it, and but sex. And all despite how lewd or how like in your face the sexuality of Tonight I'm Loving You, which is probably Tonight I'm Fucking You. It is cockless. Like the
Yeah.
beat is so unsexy.
Yeah. And they don't like, they process the vocals so much that it does not matter who is singing it. There's no personality to the vocals at all. It's drained out.
And the lyrics are like so banal. How can you even think that's sexy? Like
Yeah.
it's just so boring.
It's, yes, it is exceptionally boring. And then the next song is one that I'm sure you will wax poetic for. It is Pink's Perfect, which also, actually, that makes three songs in a row. Okay, not quite in a row, but three songs that were number one this year that actually have fuck in the title that had it changed because the real title of the song is fucking perfect.
Is that the real title?
Yes, that's the real title of the song.
Know a
Supposed
lot
to
more about Pink than I do. And here I was, I thought I
That's
was the fan.
enough, and you're fucking perfect to me. That's the chorus.
Okay.
So that's three or four songs. Fuck is in the chorus of so many number one songs now. It's crazy.
Well, the one thing I will say about Forget You, even though we're not quite there on the list yet, is I get that they couldn't have a song on the radio called Fuck You. Like I
Yeah.
get that it would just the whole thing would be bleeped and not in like a badass way, like in a
Yeah.
really weird, I can't tell what the melody of this song is kind of way.
Yeah.
But couldn't they have picked a word that scans? Like why did they have to pick a two syllable word to
Right.
replace a one syllable word? Like
Yeah. That's why lovin' is a good substitute for
right.
fuckin'.
But if you can't do fuck you, it should be like screw you.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, the song Perfect. What are your feelings about the song Perfect?
My feelings about the song Perfect are that I think this was the year that I realized that I like Pink.
Yep. That
I
is the year that that happened.
just feel like compared to so many of the women that are on this chart, and the chart is dominated by
Yes.
women,
Except for the four Black Eyed Peas songs that are by men.
right. She, like, I think she's interesting. You know,
Yes.
her
She is
persona
much
is interesting.
more,
She's
yeah.
saying something positive. Like, if I had a little girl, like, I would totally be psyched about her
Yes.
listening to Pink records. And,
Way more than like whipped cream shooting boobs.
yeah, or look, I love Rihanna. I love Rihanna, but, like, sex in the air, I don't care, I like the smell of it. Might not be a lyric that I want my 8-year-old daughter singing, but I would be totally happy with her singing about like not being perfect or like raising
Yes.
your glass for the uncool kids. And Pink can actually sing. Like I think her
Yes.
vocals
Yes.
aren't processed, and she was on, was it maybe the Grammys last year where she did her Ariel Cirque du Soleil thing? In ribbons, and
Yeah.
she was singing live. And considering people don't sing live who are just standing there, I don't know. I think pop music has never been necessarily the place for sort of like the strongest, toughest woman.
Yeah.
And she seems strong and tough, and I appreciate that.
Do think she's a great contrast to the other women on this list who are like, not that Pink isn't sexy or sexualized in her music, but certainly not in the ways that Katy Perry and Rihanna are.
No.
Like, also, which we talked about last year in the wrap up, so we don't have to like beat the nail over the head.
No. But I do.
I just made that one up. Beat the nail over the head. Everybody, soundboard that
start,
one.
That's start saying that.
Beat the nail over the head. Hand down, man down.
But there's, you know what appeals to me about Pink, aside from her voice, which I think is good, is that other sort of pop stars, when they sing about sex, I don't believe them. You know what I mean? Like, sure. I feel like they're sort, it's
but
sort
Rihanna's
of...
But Rihanna's is, like, so much about her taste and sexuality. It's like Madonna during the erotica phase.
Yeah, but I feel like so many of those pop stars' sexuality is sort of like the version of the sorority girl making out with her best friend in the bar. Because, yeah. Like, she knows all the guys think that's hot. You know, I feel like they're like, oh, this is what you think is sexy, like... They're totally playing to the male gaze, and not that Pink isn't sexy, and not that she's not a beautiful woman, and like wears half tops in her videos.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I believe that Pink likes sex.
Right.
You know, like she seems like tough and comfortable and like sure of herself, and in a way that means she doesn't have to sing really sexually explicit lyrics because like. That's sort of superfluous.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do appreciate Pink, especially like considering that she's a remnant of the late 90s, like teenage girl sort of phenomenon with Britney Spears and Mandy Moore and Jessica Simpson. And Pink was part of that generation.
Oh yeah. You forget that her first song, like as encouraged by L.A. Reid, her label head, was R&B.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. So I think, like, to have made it to this point where she's actually, like, one of the only pop singers who still embraces rock and roll touches at all, even though they're, like, you know, probably Pro Tools guitars and not live guitars, at least it's supposed to sound like a guitar, making it one of the only songs on this chart that has any.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'll give it to her for that. And then after that, we have Lady Gaga's Born This Way.
You mean Madonna's Express Yourself.
Express Yourself. It was a hit song exactly 20 years ago.
There's nothing wrong with loving who you are, she said, because he made you perfect, babe. So hold your head up, girl, and you'll go far.
Born This Way video is actually really disappointing compared to
what
the Express
Lady Gaga
Yourself.
Compared to Lady Gaga's other videos,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like Paparazzi and Bad Romance, you know, they're interesting and beautiful
and
to
arty.
Look at. And this was some really like super 90s dance moves and
just like awkward, it's sort of like bondage looking bikini gear that doesn't flatter her really.
I just think, it's not that I hate this record. You know, I know a lot of people feel like Gaga kind of dropped the ball this year, but I think that there are good songs on it. I just don't think
this is
one
of them. This
is
not the one, right?
You know, I much prefer Edge of Glory, and not just because it was sort of Clarence Clemens' last thing, which, you know, when I first heard that song, I thought, this song is great. I wish they'd cut out that, like, cheesy sax at the end that sounds like Rob Lowe performing
St.
Elmo's Fire, where he's like, it's like the hot sax and all the ladies are into it. But then he, like, died 5 minutes later, and then I felt like, oh, it's the last hurrah of the big man. Okay, you're allowed to leave that Rob Lowe sax solo.
Yeah. But thematically, it does mean there were 3 weeks in a row where the number one song in the country was, like, yay, Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah.
So that's fun. I'm glad that that sort of happened. Then we have Forget You, which is a fine pop song. It has so much more to do with 2010, though, than 2011.
Well, I mean, if we were in 2011 talking about this, I would have thought, like, oh, I used to be able to muster so much enthusiasm for this song.
It's just,
you know,
been,
I,
like,
loved that song when it first came out. But
it was
a
cool summer jam. It's just been so everywhere. It's, like, in too many chipwrecked, like, trailers, or I don't know, like.
But I did realize 2011 was the year that I got excited to hear Hey Ya again.
True.
And I thought I would never want to hear that song again. So,
because it stopped being in animated movie trailers.
So, you know, maybe in, like, 7 years, I'll be ready for Fuck You again.
Right, right. So, but at least, you know, another well-written song. Then we have S&M by Rihanna. Again, I think she's just used this year to try to make herself stand out as the dirtiest girl on top. Then we have Katy Perry's E.T. taking up 6 weeks.
You are not invited to the other side of sanity. They calling me an alien, a big-headed astronaut. Maybe it's because your boy Yeezy get ass a lot. You're so hypnotizing. Could you be the devil? Could you be an angel? Your touch magnetizing. Feels like I am floating. Leaves my body glowing.
That makes it the longest running number one on this chart, which I have such a hard time believing, because that song is so boring. I mean, the Kanye beat is cool.
I like the beat, yeah.
But, like, the vocal is not that.
It's totally forgettable.
Yeah, and the theme of it doesn't seem relatable. I don't know. It doesn't seem like something that should have been a number one hit. I don't get it.
Yeah. You know, when that song was out, it took me a really long time to hear it. Like, I kept seeing it online, like, oh, premiering this song, and I didn't ever, like, click through to the link.
Yeah.
And then one day I heard it coming out of a car, and I was like, oh, that's that Kanye Katy Perry song. And it was so missable.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is that song.
That's exactly what I mean. Like, it didn't, it's in one ear and out the other, but it was somehow 6 weeks at number one. After that, Adele's Rolling in the Deep. As I think we've talked about on this show before, we are very happy for Adele's success.
Yeah.
She is a tremendous musician, and we love her persona, her performance, her chops, her songwriting. It's just not our favorite. It's not our cup of tea. Like, we don't have or listen to that album. But great. I'm very happy that that was the number one song for a month.
Yeah. You know, I think one of the points of this podcast is about, like, not drawing lines in the sand and saying, like, this is shitty because it's pop, or, like, this is amazing because no one's ever heard of it, or vice versa.
Well, I also realize, like, when you're saying whether you like a piece of music or not, what you're really describing is what you want that music to do.
Right.
And if you don't like it, it's because it doesn't do what you want it to do, which has nothing to do with how good it is or not. So if you could take a step away from that and just be like, well, it's not my thing, but I respect the work. Like, I respect what goes into doing this. And, like, in contrast to what else is out there, like, I'm glad that this is on the shelf for kids to choose from, you know? Like,
yeah. Well, and I also don't think, you know, I'm, the older I get, the less enamored I am with authenticity. And so I don't want it to sound like, oh, well, I feel like Adele is an authentic talent and Katy Perry isn't. And so I root for someone like Adele.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
There are great, you know, some of my favorite songs of this year were, like, crafted by expensive pop songwriters.
And I appreciate
tons of
that
money
too.
Was spent in the studio.
I appreciate that.
But
I just want there to also be some live music around, you know?
Yeah.
I don't want it to only be computer music.
Right.
And I have a lot of respect for production values and for great studio work, and I don't think that that art is less valid.
Right.
But I want there to be alternatives to pick from.
I think it would be hard to underestimate the success that Adele had in the United States this last year. You know, this wasn't her first album. She had an album out 2 years before.
Yeah.
That was, you know, that did well enough that she was booked on SNL, but not well enough that people were like, who's that Adele that's on SNL? Is she like Duffy? Is she the third Amy Winehouse clone? And I think there were people who were into it, but it was still like kind of a selective adult alternative,
right?
You know, crew. And this record came out and everybody, you know, this record gets played on urban radio. It gets played on pop radio. It is loved by, like, older people who haven't bought albums in a long time.
Yeah,
you know, it's the best-selling record of the year. Young people bought it. It held records on the charts. And all of those things are about a record that is really simple and personal and related. I think everyone was so won over by Adele's persona of, like, I'm regular, I look regular. I mean, she's beautiful, but in the realm of popular music, I look regular. I, you know, sing about things that you recognize. I have a body sense of humor. I get stage fright. Like, I have this huge voice and these poems about a man that wronged me, and it resonated with everyone. And whether or not you personally want to listen to those records, because I personally don't need to, that's like a major feat, and it feels like one that hasn't happened in a long time, because the big song or the, you know, best-selling album has been stuff that was not organic in the same way. And so I started feeling like no one was going to have that kind of shared experience of a piece of art, and people did with that Adele record, and that's interesting to me.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, as much of a unifying force as any in music this year. Cross-generational, cross-racial, like, yeah, absolutely. So following Adele's month on top comes the second of the
Black Eyed Peas songs.
This one is happened to be called Give Me Everything, and it's Pitbull featuring Neo, Afrojack, and Mayer.
For all we know, we might.
I want you. grab somebody sexy, tell them, hey, give me everything tonight. Give me everything tonight. Give me everything tonight. Give me everything tonight. Take advantage of the night, cause tomorrow I'm off to do battle, perform for a princess. But tonight, I can make you my queen and make love to you endless. It's insane the way the name growing, money keep flowing, hustlers moving silent, so I'm tiptoeing, so keep blowing. I got it locked up like Lizzie Lohan.
Considering that there are four vocalists on here, I can't tell why you would need more than half of one to do the vocal work on this song.
Also, I will say, you know, this was definitely a song I heard in 2011 coming out of someone's car on a TV commercial or whatever. But before it turned 2012, in the last day of 2011, I heard the song, like, we heard the song four or five times.
Yes.
Like, this song did not want to let 2011 go.
No.
It was determined to be heard five fucking times before year end. We were watching the ball drop. Ball dropped. There it was again. First song we heard in 2012, probably.
Yeah. This song is very popular with my kids, and I do appreciate the heritage connection, Pitbull being a Puerto Rican. So, you know, he's the only Puerto Rican who's number one on the U.S. pop charts.
Whatever happened to Fat Joe?
He still puts one out every now and then. I don't know if he's put out a number one anytime recently.
I think I'd rather see more of Fat Joe than more of Pitbull.
Personally, I would too. But moving on from there, the next number one hit was the Hamster Dance.
Isn't that what you think of when you just hear Party Rock Anthem by LMFAO?
Well, now I have a lot of this. Party Rock is in the house tonight. Everybody just have a good time. I can feel this pain. Baby, don't make you lose your mind. Yeah. We just want to see you. Shake that. But it's LMFAO featuring Lauren Bennett and Goon Rock. It's the Party Rock Anthem. I feel like this is going to be a trivia question one day. Like, who were the featured artists on the Party Rock Anthem?
Yeah, but there's no way that could be a trivia
question
because
Bennett
nobody knows
Rock.
It today. If you stopped a kid on the street and played that song and said, like, who sings this? They would be like, LMFAO. And you'd be like, who are the featured artists? And they'd be like, they're featured artists on the song.
Yeah, I doubt they would know. You're absolutely right. The thing that is sort of interesting to me about this is it's a instructional dance. There is a
you do love
there is a shuffle.
Dances.
There's the shuffle that goes along with it. So you know, okay. There, but it points to the general idea that I have that except for Adele, this entire chart, except for Adele and Bruno Mars, it's all dance music.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, you know, I think I was asking you before
no guitars,
we,
really.
Yeah, and before we push record, I was also like asking, doesn't it feel like in other years the number one hits are some combination of like anthem, dance song, and like personal or like ballad, you know, sort of thing? And there doesn't seem to be a lot of balance in this year's chart. It's so disco heavy, like.
You know, I wonder if that's a cultural thing. I wonder if it's sort of like disco in the late 70s when the country was broke, or like Happy
right.
Days Are Here Again in the Depression.
Yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
it was a lot easier to listen to miserable music
yeah.
In the Clinton era. When you felt like there was some optimism in your life, you could like sit at home and wear flannel and listen to really depressing music. But it's like it's everything
right,
else is so depressing that you just
depressed.
Have to be like, let's play some dance anthems.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, there's the Party Rock Anthem. Then comes Last Friday Night, which is, if this is possible, the most inane of the Katy Perry hits.
It's a blacked out blur, but I'm pretty sure it rules. In the park, skinny dip.
This is also like so many of them are like kind of about it is because she is a performer up for and about teenage girls. Mm-hmm. This is not the kind of like, why are we celebrating possibly getting date raped and passing out, drinking, and like not being able to remember having a good time? Like, why is that fun?
Like, I wasn't gonna take it as seriously as you, but I will say,
you know I'm all about having a little bit of substance abuse and like a good time, but it doesn't sound fun to just like pass out and get date raped, which is sort of what the text of the song is. Like, I woke up next to someone, what happened? Like, oh, I don't know, and I don't care. Like, ooh, it must have been wild and crazy. Like, I don't, what? Like,
well, to me, it's like when you see
teenagers.
Like a middle-aged lady dressed up like a teenager. Like the Amy Poehler mom in Mean Girls, where you're like, oh, you're not your teenage daughter. Like, it's okay to embrace being 42 or whatever you are. I love sort of high school movies. And the Bildungsroman is like totally my genre of book, but I see Katy Perry, who is a full-on grown-up, like, singing in, not just about teenage things, but, like, in the cadence of, like, someone simple and young and dumb, and with that whole, you know, she almost sings the way teenagers talk, where everything's a question, you know, everything goes up at the end. And all I can think is like, aren't you a little old for this shit?
Right.
Like, oh, you know what, Rebecca? You are way too old to think you're a teenager because you're older than that girl and that girl looks ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, when the video for Last Friday Night is, you know, it's supposed to be funny. She's got braces on and Rebecca Black's there and it's a hilarious high school party. All you can think is like, why is Rebecca Black's mom dressed up like...
Yeah.
She's 12. That's so inappropriate.
Yeah. So I think this is the most inane. But it also means that Katy Perry did put 5 number one hit singles off the same album, which is Thriller territory.
And yeah, it ties with Michael Jackson. Although I feel like I just heard something about a 6. Which I find terrifying.
Like there is going to be a 6?
Or that there just was. I feel like I just saw a headline about the new single she wrote. Yeah.
Oh, no. Well, you know, some of them have grown on me. The next song that was number one is the least memorable Britney Spears song. It's called I Wanna Go. Apparently, Britney Spears sings it, though, listening to the chorus, it does sound like a fembot.
And not even in a good way, like her last single, the Until the World Ends, was at least like a killer dance single and had like the super memorable hook. And, you know, she sounds like a robot, but the song is really fun. This song... Right after, we saw the video, because I think it was like number one on the VH1 Songs of 2011 or something. And we saw the video, and as soon as it ended, I was like, Brian, I couldn't sing that back to you.
Yes.
Like, we missed it, and now I don't know how that song goes.
That was completely in one ear and out the other.
Yeah.
It's I can't believe that this actually counts as a comeback. Because it does, like, she sold a lot of records this year, but this feels so pathetic. Like, it has no personality. I mean, not that, like, okay, let's be honest, Britney Spears was never about personality in her records. But, you know what I mean? There's there's like nothing to hang your hat on here.
Yeah.
It's like so generic.
Well, she needs a real earworm, you know? All people want to see her do is like dance.
Yeah.
So she should be making and dance
have, like,
music.
And sing-along hook.
Yeah. And this is what dance music sounds like
now. Yeah.
So I get that stylistically things have changed, but people just want her to, like, four on the floor beat, Britney Spears dancing, hook. And there's no hook in this song.
Yeah. Next song is Moves Like Jagger.
I successfully avoided this song all year. People would talk about it, and I avoided it. And getting ready for the show, we had to listen to all these songs. So
yeah.
I have now finally heard that piece of shit.
And it's as shitty as
you want to control. So we waited. I put on a show. Now I'm naked. You say I'm a kid. My ego is bare. I don't give.
I saw all the pieces too about, like, oh, 2011 is the year of the whistle, and all I could think was, like, I don't know, wasn't that when Peter Bjorn and John's Young Folks came out? Wasn't that the year of the whistle?
Right.
Whatever that was, 2008, 2007. But this song has the whistle, so I see how that fits into that. I'm sure people who watch that spinning around TV show are excited that it's Maroon 5 singing with Christina Aguilera, because they're both judges on that spinning around chair show. But this song is terrible.
The show spinning chair factor.
I think this, in a year where I think almost all of these chart hits are, at best, I feel lukewarm about, Moves Like Jagger is absolutely the worst piece of shit on this list.
I think I would second that emotion. Let me just scan up this list again to see if there's anything I loathe more. Nope, that's the most loathsome.
Yeah.
The others, you're right, are just sort of like garden variety terrible.
Yeah.
That's especially terrible.
Yeah.
I'm actually, like, the next song is cute.
I learned something about Brian earlier today when he said that he thought this was the best song on the list of the year. Brian likes Gym Class Heroes.
Stereo Hearts. Gym.
It beats for you, so listen close. Hear my thoughts in every note. Make me your radio. And turn me up when you feel low. This melody was meant for you. So sing along to my stereo.
Gym Class Heroes, baby. If I was just another dusty record on the shelf, would you blow me off and play me like everybody else? If I asked you to scratch my back, could you manage that? Like, if we had chicken travi, I can handle that. Furthermore, I apologize for any skipping tracks. This is the last girl that played me, left a couple cracks. I used to, now I'm over that. Cause holding grudges over love is ancient artifacts. If I could only find a note to make you understand, I'd sing it softly in your ear and grab you by the hand. Just keep me stuck inside your head like your favorite tune. And no, my heart's a stereo, the only place for you.
My heart's a stereo. It beats for you, so listen close. Hear my thoughts in every note.
I just think it's, like, a cute song.
You're entitled to your opinion.
And this is completely from the perspective of what the kids are listening to. And, like, instead of Meek Mill or Lil Wayne having them come in saying, like, my heart's a stereo, I'm like, you're singing a song. Yay. Oh, okay.
Yep. Totally.
So, I don't know. That's That's why I appreciate it a little bit more. There's like actually something to that something some there's a lesson that can be taught out of that. So but what you find it?
No, it's innocuous.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's like Bruno Mars.
Yes.
That's fine.
Yeah.
It's
not my favorite. I just think like of these number one songs, like that's an actual song. Yay! Yeah. Because several of these are not actual songs. And like the next one, Without You, David Guetta featuring Usher.
I am lost, I am vain, I will never be the same without you, without you, without you, without you.
Part five of the non-song that the Black Eyed Peas wrote.
As I think I mentioned to you the other day, it's really
and
weird.
We didn't even get to the like Jason Derulo song or the like
Tayo
Cruz.
Yeah, they're the same.
Yeah.
It's all Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting that, you know, in the late 90s, there was that whole movement about, you know, dance music's taking over the world. Dance music's going to be the next hip hop, the next rock and roll. And it never, they kept saying it was going to come from Europe, and it just never, aside from a very small subset of kids, never caught on here. Like, America's rock and roll territory, we'd like a hook, well, you know, we're not dance club people. But somehow, the good shit that was coming out in the 90s was not enough to win over the American audiences.
But this is.
But all of a sudden, it's like, oh, yes, the biggest producer in Ibiza, he needs to produce everyone's album, and it's going to be lots of like four on the floor Euro synths.
Yeah.
And like, who knew that it was true that European dance music was going to take over, just not like the good European dance music.
So that was that one. Then actually, I have to take back, like, Stereo Hearts is not my favorite song on this
no,
list.
No, because this one...
Because the year closed on, I think, my favorite of this list.
Oh, it's definitely my favorite.
We Found Love, Rihanna, and
Calvin Harris.
I do think the song, it has a bit of a missed opportunity in the bass line. Like, it could pound that bass line home, and I would find that more satisfying. But, like, 10% more. I almost, like, want to go remix it and make that the version that I listen to. Like, with just a simple little, like, bass line on it. Because it could have really... I wanted it to follow the chord progression. And
right.
Instead it just hits the same note over and over again. I'm like, wasted opportunity. But I like, you know, moving basses. Like, that's
yeah.
what I think is fun about club music. That's what makes Daft Punk fun or Basement Jacks fun is, like, the loopy lower ends. That's the one thing that could have made this better. But I do think this is a great song.
Oh, it kicks ass.
Yeah, totally. And it's was, like, in my head the first time I heard it. I'm like, when's the next time I can hear that song again?
Yeah.
I dig it. And it is very, like, housey. But it is, you know, and I know we just decried how the whole year was dance music and like too club influenced, but and this is totally
a dance song.
But this is
this
like,
is the kind of dance music that I like.
Yeah, this is like progressive house. I always thought it was funny how, you know, in electronic music there's so many like subdivisions that fans make. It's just like that and metal.
Yeah.
Where the total number of people who listen to it is a, such a small percentage, and then within themselves they subdivide so much that, like, I don't know, it's 10,000 people who are into each one of these 50 microgenres. But progressive house is the like that the sort of French disco school of doing things, and I like it.
I like Calvin Harris.
Yeah.
And I think if Rihanna's goal is going to be the, like, you know, house diva,
uh-huh.
like, I support that choice.
Yes.
Because she's not a vocal powerhouse.
No.
And that's
exactly where that voice belongs.
Yeah.
So it's an effective treatment.
Because We Found Love by Rihanna was in my top 10.
Since you actually submitted your ballots.
I did.
I didn't have an official say in the matter. But you have this all prepared.
Yeah, Paz and Jop doesn't wait. Songs, just albums. So it's just a list of 10.
Sure.
My number one song, though it came out this year, is off an album that came out in 2010, but that song is All the Lights by Kanye West.
Mm-hmm.
I did make a big top 20, even though I couldn't submit 20, and Otis from Watch the Throne was number 20, but I was very surprised at how many critics sort of gave Watch the Throne a little bit of a drubbing for being out of step with the current recession culture at being so luxury good dominated, and then everyone put it on their year-end list.
Yeah.
It didn't make mine, though I did really like Otis. Number two is Super Bass, and that's another 2011 single from an album from 2010, but the year sort of belonged to Nicki Minaj.
Mm-hmm.
It's really exciting to have such a talented female rapper sort of back on the scene for the first time since Missy Elliott, really.
Yeah, I mean, on this level of, you know, stardom.
Yes.
Yeah. And actually, you would argue, you could argue that Nicki Minaj is a bigger star now than Missy Elliott was at any point. She might be.
Yeah.
So, absolutely, I think that's been a great story.
You know, I didn't love her record because it was too much of her singing stuff. And not enough of her rapping the way she sort of did on Monster.
Yeah.
And despite the fact that, you know, Super Bass definitely does the singing stuff, it's definitely a pop song of Nicki Minaj's. It really has some really skillful rapping, and it is super memorable.
Then
after that was Countdown by Beyonce. I know that's not your favorite Beyonce song off that record. You prefer Party with Andre 3000.
Yeah.
But
I also like Love on Top.
But I love that Boys to Men sample. Like, I don't know what a boof is, but I think that's awesome. That song just never gets old to me.
The part of that song that I like the most is the low horns in the beat. The, like, trombone, trumpet,
mm-hmm.
like womp, 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 womp. Like those are the most fun part of the production. The thing that irritates me a little bit about that beat is I just don't like the like. It just seems like tinny and thin, and I don't like. I find that sound a little bit piercing, but that's just like that one sound,
yeah.
you know, as an irritant.
And We Got Love.
Or We Found
We
Love.
We Found Love.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We Got
that,
Love.
Yeah, that too. I'm trying to think of want.
That's a Curtis Mayfield song. I like that one. having to refresh.
Well, no, it's out of batteries.
Oh.
And we can't really do anything about that.
That's true. Then your non-radio hit songs.
Well, also radio hits. I think my number 10 was Edge of Glory, which we already talked about. My non-radio hit songs were Romance by Wild Flag. Mm-hmm. I mean, the women from Sleater-Kinney can sort of do no wrong to me. I think Janet Weiss might be the best working drummer. Mm-hmm. And the whole Wild Flag record is amazing, but I really like that song. Relax by Das Racist is on there. I think a lot of other people might have picked a different song on that record, but there are some rhymes on that one that I really like. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a chorus that's just like, relax, relax, relax.
That Real Estate song.
I don't think that's in my top 10.
Oh, that was in your top, like, 20.
Top 20.
What about the Yuck song?
Yes.
Was that in your top 10?
Yes, it was.
That's Hunt and Peck for it on the iPhone.
You're going to cut all this out, right?
Yeah. In the editing booth, where the good stuff happens. Mozzie's on the podcast. Mozzie's on the podcast.
I didn't put that thing on here, so. Oh, The Morning?
Mm-hmm.
By the Weeknd.
Yeah.
I know that on other podcasts, I have given Drake a hard time, and this is not only Drake's friend, but he definitely comes from that same sort of downcast R&B school. But I think this whole record is really, there was a sort of great mood in 2011 of like sad sexy, which I think is not your typical R&B love jam. And I love me a typical R&B love jam, but I really...
Well, the Weeknd record is weird and spooky and like creepy. It's a driving home album.
Yeah.
It's my favorite album of the year. It's a pretty unique soundscape, and it's also, you know, it's about like the underbelly of a good time, like the bad side of a good time. Because every song about parties is about the like yay, and not enough is about the like cleaning up vomit, or like the walk of shame, or the like depravity of what drug use and abuse can lead you to, like, you know. So it's a dark party album, which most party albums are not. I thought it was really distinctive.
He's got a great voice.
Yeah, I find it really listenable, very compelling.
I've remembered what the other two are. One is Shook Down by Yuck.
Yuck.
You know, they are British guys. They are 90s throwbacks. But I'm not sure that any, you know, quote-unquote mainstream radio act with a guitar wrote a song half as melodic and hooky and... infinitely re-listenable and affecting as they did.
Mm-hmm.
And then Midnight City by M83.
Like that song a lot.
Which, you know, it's the French dance music, spends a year making a record in LA. So it's sort of bright and dancey, but also I mean, dark is the wrong word because it's not dark like the Weeknd's record is dark, but it's restrained, I guess, in a way that, but still with a huge hooky chorus. I guess what we've learned is that I love a big hooky chorus.
Yeah.
Which is true. I like me some, you know, pop music.
So I think that's a good way to close out our 2011.
You don't have a favorite song you'd like to share, even though you didn't make a
I didn't make a list. I think we talked about sort of my favorite musical developments.
Okay.
And song by song, I don't think one song stands above the rest as my favorite song of 2011.
I would like to say one thing. In 2010, perhaps the best song of the year was DJ Khaled's All I Do Is Win, and everyone ignored it. This year, everybody thinks the other DJ Khaled song,
I'm On One,
is better, and it is like the most deflated
yes.
DJ Khaled song
yes.
I've ever heard.
That's the right adjective.
And the whole thing that's great about him is how he like fills
the propulsiveness, yeah.
And he fills a room up with oxygen. You know, he
yeah.
brings on tons of guests, and there's like a really propulsive beat, and this is just so deflated. I can't believe this is the song that, you know, the cool kids have decided is his masterwork.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all. I just needed to get that off my chest.
Cool. I agree with those statements. I have to admit, there haven't been very many rock and roll records that excited me this year. The Wild Flag was an exception. I like that a lot. Actually, the Raphael Sadiq album has some of the best rock and roll this year. The cool part about that album is, you know, of all the soul revivalists going, he's mining a different field, looking at, Funkadelic and Sly and the Family Stone
yeah.
instead of just pulling out the Motown
yeah.
Kind of sound. Not that there's anything wrong with the Motown sound. I love that, and I love Sharon Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to a lesser extent, the wave of British neo-soul artists that have really struck gold recently. But the Raphael Sadiq album has, like, some great guitar playing. And
yeah.
it's funny that you have to turn to, you know, one of the year's best R&B albums to find good guitar playing. And so be it.
But that Yuck record is a guitar record that has great guitars.
I confess to not having heard that whole thing through.
And though I guess it's not a guitar record, the Destroyer record, which is sort of
mm-hmm.
his yacht rock opus,
right.
that's also on my list. And it's, you know, very clearly a rock record instead of like a dance record.
Yeah. I'd agree with that assessment. So, yeah, I think we can close there. But we promise our faithful listeners that there will be more content coming from us to you.
If there is anything we've said you disagree with or a show suggestion you'd like to make, definitely tweet at us at IDoLostCauses or leave a comment on the blog.
Indeed. Signing off.